In our first reading today, we hear from the book of Deuteronomy about the role of the prophet in regards to God's relationship with his people. If you remember, on the mountaintop, when God started speaking to his people, they were terrified, and they said, "No, don't talk to us. You talk to somebody else, and then they'll tell us what you said." And that's what Moses was. He was God's voice, God's prophet to the people. And so the Lord said to them, "Fine, I will do this because you have asked, and I will raise up a prophet from you." Now, we know he rose up many prophets throughout the Old Testament, but this prophecy in particular was referring, of course, to Jesus, the true prophet, if you will. Now, mistakenly, many Christians believe, and not just Christians, but people in general, that prophecy refers to future events. Like, people who prophesy predict the future. That has nothing necessarily to do with prophecy. Prophecy, according to the scriptures, is simply someone who speaks truth. In this case, it's God's truth, but it's truth. Now, the reason we assume that it's prophetic, or meaning referring to the future, is because truth is truth all the time, now and in the future. Most of us, when we hear the truth the first time, it doesn't make sense or we don't accept it. And so later on, when we finally learn that it was true, we're like, "Oh, it was prophetic." No, it was just true. It's like when you try to teach children as parents and they don't listen to you, and then 10 years later they come back and say, "Mom and Dad, you were right. You were right all along." Well, Mom and Dad aren't prophetic. They just have more experience than you. That's it. That's the simple reality. So anyone who has experience in life has knowledge, has a certain understanding of things and truth that they can share with others who are less experienced. Well, God is eternal, right? He doesn't need experience. He knows everything. He is truth. And so when he communicates that truth to us through his prophets, that truth is true now and in the future. It's always true. If we can learn it now, then in essence, we'll always be ready for the future because we'll be able to predict what comes because it's true. Now, Jesus is not just a great prophet who speaks the word of truth. Of course, he is that, the greatest of prophets. But we know that he is actually the word of God. Remember in the beginning of the Gospel of John, John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he came and he dwelt among us," speaking, of course, about our Lord. So Jesus, who speaks the word of truth, is actually the word of truth incarnate. Now, this is a mystery. This is very mystical, and it's hard for us to understand, but I think it's better on some level if we go back to the original word that John used in his gospel. Because, pardon me, the word that John uses is not, it's just a translation. He says, "In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God." Now, what does Logos mean? Well, word is one of the translations. It's one of the ways in which you can translate it and interpret it, but it's really not enough. There's a depth to this word. I know it sounds weird to keep saying word, but there's a depth to it that we can miss if we only lightly pass over this singular translation. Because the word logos ultimately has both Greek and Hebrew linguistic traditions behind them. Usually among the Greeks in the ancient culture, when logos was used, either philosophically or otherwise, it was referring to kind of the power, the force, the rules or law behind the universe. So that which moves the universe. Now, they didn't think that was God. They just thought it's, you know, the laws of the universe, so to speak. That was kind of the Hellenistic mindset. Now, Jews, which understood this concept and used it in some sense, referred to it more as God's power in creation. Like at the beginning of Genesis, when God spoke the word and everything was brought forth. That word that God spoke was, according to the Jews, the Logos. Now, again, the Jews didn't think that the Logos was God. They just thought it was God's word. Now, St. John, in his gospel, realizes that this Logos is, in fact, Jesus Christ, God incarnate. And that's why he uses this word for Jesus. I know that's a bit technical, but it's important to understand. Because Jesus is the law, the power, the force, the truth behind everything in creation. Everything. That's what Logos means. So when you hear John's gospel read in English, in the beginning was the Word, you have to consider it more from this grander concept. So Jesus being incarnate truth, incarnate law and rule, if you will, he is the perfect prophet. And he, in his very person, reveals to us all truth. Why? Because he is the source of all created truth. He is the source of all created truth. What I find fascinating about science is anytime you are studying just strict science, meaning the material universe, it doesn't matter what the subject is, right? Any type of science in the world, you are actually presupposing the Logos, and you don't know it. That's why it's impossible to truly be an atheistic scientist. Well, why is this? Let me offer a reason for you. When anyone studies anything on a natural level, when they evaluate it, analyze it, observe it, they do so with the assumption that it is reasonable and rational, meaning intelligible, that there's some type of reason behind it, that it's not just pure chaos and happenstance. It's like when a parent comes into a room and it's all catastrophic and messy. The parent doesn't say, oh, this seems normal. No, they ask, what happened? Who did this? They assume that there's a reason for it. And all scientists do. They assume that there is rationale or truth behind why things work the way that they work. That's why you can do science, actually. Now, they simply don't believe that that truth, that rationale, that reason, is anything important. They assume it's rooted only in the material. The problem is, that's illogical. They don't understand basic reasoning. Because once you reason to the beginning of creation, which even Stephen Hawking, one of the greatest scientific minds of our time, has said, once you can scientifically reason back to what we call the Big Bang, we don't know what started it. Now, he doesn't want to say it's God, but he knows it has to be something powerful, something reasonable, something true. He's even admitted to that. And he was an atheist for a long time, and technically still is, at least an agnostic. Behind all reason, behind all truth is Jesus Christ. He is the Logos. Now, in our individual lives, one of the things we struggle with the most is uncertainty, not knowing. This is why we like prophecy. We like to know the future. You don't need to know the future. You need to know the truth. If you know the truth, then you'll know the future, insofar as it's relevant. But you already know who the truth is. The truth is Jesus Christ our Lord. You want to find more peace in your life? Get to know the Lord better. Study His Word. Meditate on His life and His teachings. Everything about Him is truth. Not just what He said, but what He did, and all of the things that happened to Him. All is revelatory. It's important to look at, as Christians, how well we are growing in our faith. And when I use that word faith, I'm referring to, in a particular way, my belief in the truths of our Lord. And that has to do with several factors. My ability to understand, how well I've worked to understand, you know, my personal weaknesses and strengths. But one sure sign for each one of us to tell whether we still need to grow in our faith and understanding, our knowledge of the Lord, is whether we have peace in our hearts. Whenever you find that you lose the peace that Christ wants to give to you, it's usually because you're worried, anxious, or afraid about something that doesn't make sense to you, or you can't explain, which means you don't understand some aspect of truth in that regard. So what you have to do when you recognize that lack of peace is come to the Lord and say, Lord, clearly I'm ignorant in this area, in this way, somehow. Teach me. Reveal yourself to me, Lord, in this aspect of my life. Because I don't see you here. And it could be physical sickness. You get cancer. Lord, why would you do this to me? I have no peace. Don't you love me? Well, of course he loves you. You just don't understand yet. So ask him to teach you. It could be you lose your job. Problems in society, which are only going to get worse. It doesn't matter the situation. But whenever you find yourself losing his peace as a Christian, you have to realize you are failing in faith, because the truth has revealed himself to you. You just haven't understood him yet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.